Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Now it's time for Inside the Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation, as well as the big MLB topics, along with the biggest names, greatest guests, and listener interaction, starring Score Baseball insider Bruce Levine, and half of Chicago's number one sports morning show, David Haw, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, and always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Good Saturday morning, Chicago. Welcome back inside the clubhouse on 670 The Score and your free Odyssey app, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. I am David Haw, along with Bruce Levine, talking baseball as we do every Saturday morning, ready to react to the first full week of spring training out in Arizona for the Cubs and the White Sox, and maybe even overreact to each other along the way. That's always fun. Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
Morning, David. Yeah, it's just so great to hear, you know, tune in 670 yesterday, listen to the Score and the Cubs being on the radio, going back and watching TV, both stations having the Cubs White Sox game. Nothing says baseball like the opening of spring training and getting it on the radio, getting it on television. It was fantastic yesterday.
Nothing says spring training like a 40-year-old journeyman relief pitcher giving up six runs in the first inning, right, Bruce? Like Jesse Chavez did for the White Sox. But it was fun. 8-1.
You're just trying to say be prepared for this happening all year. That's
yes,
what you're saying, isn't it?
That was a way. That was a great indoctrination into baseball 2024 on the South Side. Six runs in the first inning. Christopher Morel goes deep. Cubs win 8-1. It means nothing, according to Craig Counsell, but it is a lot of fun. You're exactly right. Baseball back on the Score. Baseball back on our TV screens. Baseball back in our conversations, Bruce. And I think that's what we'll focus on today. We can go back and forth and update people on the latest in the South Loop project. I think we covered a lot of ground on that this week. But I think the focus today will be the teams on the field, the developments at spring training, what's going on with Christopher Morel at third base, what's going on with Dylan Cease in the Sox rotation, what's going on in general. And I think that's a good place to start, Bruce, because you were out there and you were at both camps, and the overall tone just seems like there's White Sox – trying to, you know, piece together some respectability and be feisty and defensive-minded. And then the Cubs, there's kind of like, okay, when does the real season start? When does Cody Bellinger get here? Two different tones, two different sides of town.
Yeah, and there's, you know, I think you framed it pretty well, David, by the fact that both camps feel incomplete, okay? There's that incomplete feeling. And the White Sox are going to feel that way for a long time because of the fact that there are going to be players that you don't know that are going to be representing your team that are going to be out there playing for the first time in front of you if you're a White Sox fan, if you're a Chicago baseball fan. There's going to be players trying to win jobs, keep jobs, show that they're major league players. And that is going to be interesting from that perspective. For the Cubs, after listening to Tom Ricketts talk on Monday and the fact that the Bellinger thing isn't dead, but it isn't close to being signed at that point. There is some frustration, I think, I sense from Cub Nation on that. The fact that, why can't these two sides come together, give us the player that we thought was the best player in our team last year, comeback player of the year in the National League, get this over with. We're tired of the business of baseball. It's baseball season. You've had over 3 months to get this done. Why don't you get it finished one way or the other?
It's a fair question. A lot of conversation about Cody Bellinger, a lot of conversation about Scott Boras and how he was called out by Tom Ricketts this week in Mesa. Bruce, we're going to set up the show for everyone wondering what is coming next. Pete Crow Armstrong at the bottom of the hour, 9:30. Looking forward to talking to the young Cub center fielder to see if his hair is still blue. And also at 10 o'clock, Steve Stone will join us and talk about his bold prediction. I think it was pretty bold, Bruce. Steve Stone going out yesterday, first day on the job at spring training, saying the White Sox are going to be 10 games better than they were in that miserable season of 2023. Yes, they lost 101 games, so maybe it's not that far out on a limb, but Steve Stone might be the only guy that we're going to talk to today, besides maybe you, that can name every White Sox relief pitcher. This is an anonymous bullpen, a very unproven staff, and yet Steve Stone went out Friday to say they would win 10 more games than they did in 2023. Pretty bold.
Well, it's bold, but you know what? If you win 71 games, you still stink, don't you, David? So 71, you know, and 91 would be, you know, not a great year, but would White Sox, I guess the question White Sox fans on our show would be, would you take a 10-game improvement if it means you're starting to see players that you can relate to for the future for the Chicago White Sox? Because there's nobody that I know of that is saying the White Sox, other than Pedro Grifol, saying that the White Sox can win the division this year. And he is not being bold about it or coming out and predicting it. He's just saying, you know, we're not putting numbers down on paper as to
right.
what we think we're going to win. The reality is that if Dylan Cease is traded, does Steve Stone's number automatically go down, or because they're going to get back two or three outstanding players and maybe some are big league ready, does it make it, does it enhance their chances to have a better record? We won't know that until that move is made, if it ever is. You know, I'm going to be eating crow the beginning of the year if Cease is the opening day starter, because I predicted that there was no way the White Sox would let this commodity go through spring training and into the regular season, knowing that this is a big piece to trade for the future. Not Dylan Cease is not a part of the Chicago White Sox future the way that I look at it. Maybe people have a different opinion of what it's all about, but for me, the best spot for Dylan Cease is somewhere else, bringing back three quality players for the Chicago White Sox.
Well put, Bruce. And if you are eating crow before the season, at least it won't be a shock to your system. You're pretty well fed when it comes
to that. I'm a vegetarian, so crow is not going to go down easily.
Okay. Well, it never does then, because there have been other instances. Perhaps. I think I want to talk about the Cubs for a moment, because you talk about the expectations for the White Sox, and they're pretty low. And if they win 10 more games than last year, that means they're at 71 victories, which would be respectable, at least a step in the right direction. The Cubs, meanwhile, I just feel like there are two different projections. Obviously, there's one with Cody Bellinger. There's one without. I think without Cody Bellinger, this is a team that's going to struggle to win 80 games. It's a team that's not going to be necessarily at the top of the division, and I think they're going to have some of the flaws offensively exposed over time. With Cody Bellinger, hey, dream big. Think anything is possible. You win the division, you get in the tournament, and the Diamondbacks proved that the variance of the postseason is something that you can exploit. I think they're two different possibilities for the Cubs, which was surprising to me, Bruce. I want to get your opinion after we listen to this. Tom Ricketts addressed the team for the 15th straight year, as he does every season, and he talked about, with or without Cody Bellinger, he believes this team, this Cubs team, 2024, capable of big things.
I think Jed had a really good offseason. I mean, I think we've added some parts that are going to be really, really beneficial to the whole, and I don't see any reason why we wouldn't be favored for our division this year.
I do. Don't you, Bruce?
Favored to win the division. Who would you say is favored in the National League Central?
I would think that it's the Brewers until it's not the Brewers. I would think the Cardinals had a very productive offseason. I don't know if they added pitchers that are too old or guys that are too washed, but I do think they were active. You look around, the Reds are probably not going in the other direction. They're coming. They're coming in hot. I know, Bruce, why he would say that. He's got to say that. But I don't look at the Cubs offseason without Bellinger and say, wow, I'm excited about that.
I don't think he had to say the Cubs are favored, okay, to win. He should say we should be competitive. I mean, if it was me, I would have said I think we're going to be competitive in the division and working toward being in the playoffs. I mean, maybe that's the way I would have framed it, but I like Tom's, you know, brash, hey, we had a good offseason. We're a team on the come. We won 83 games last year. Other than Bellinger and Stroman, we have the same players. And the one thing that he's really counting on is that the farm system is producing real players that can play now, and that you're going to continue to see some of those players during the 2024 season. Guys like Horton and guys like Ben Brown added to the pitching staff coming through quality arms. So I think the brashness that you heard there was one of confidence in the farm system and that there's real players that are going to contribute this year.
I like the brashness. I like the fact that he is thinking that way. I don't necessarily want to discourage that kind of confidence or candor from an owner that is more accessible than the other guy in town. But I also think it puts a little bit of pressure on, which is a good thing. Pressure is good in professional sports. And now the bar is set. You know, they're good enough to win the division. With or without Cody Bellinger, that puts the onus on the manager, Craig Counsell, who comes over here to do more with more, and now he's going to have to do more with less once again, because if they don't get Cody Bellinger, that lineup is going to look familiar, because it's going to be like, well, okay, where's the power coming from? How am I going to manufacture runs? Well, how am I going to be the smartest guy in the dugout tonight? And I think that puts the onus on Craig Counsell more than maybe it does if they don't have Bellinger in the middle of that lineup.
You know, Counsell, that's the other wild card, David, that you bring up, and that is, they really believe Counsell is a difference maker. Okay. He doesn't go out there and hit, pitch, field, run the bases. But what he does is he will, in their opinion, bring out the very best of each player and match them up the right way to win baseball games. That's what a good manager is supposed to do. I thought David Ross was on that track, maybe not quite there where Craig Counsell's at. But nonetheless, he'll be managing somewhere again at the end of this year or the beginning of 2025. David, I just think that there's a confidence about who's running the team. It's the confidence about
absolutely
the system.
Yep.
And I think it's good that he's calling BS to everybody saying, look, if our farm system isn't ready, if our players aren't ready, then we're not doing a good job, and I'll be surprised, okay? And I, honestly, people are, I think, nervous about Pete Crow Armstrong, who is going to be our guest at the bottom of the hour, being ready to hit major league pitching. They're nervous about the fact that you got a guy that Cub Nation had never heard before, and Michael Busch playing first base every day. Two rookies that are going to be counted on to be both impactful offensively and defensively this season.
I like the pressure that it puts on Counsell to come through. I like everything about Craig Counsell and the quiet, I don't even know if it's quiet confidence. It's a little bit of a swagger. I like the fact that Craig Counsell is being counted on to make everything about this team better in 2024. And we got a glimpse of that confidence, or just what we're going to come to expect from Craig Counsell when he was mic'd up during game one against the White Sox Friday at Sloan Park in Mesa. And this is what he had to say about the crowd. 13,300 people in attendance, another huge crowd for day one in the Cactus League. And this is how Craig Counsell reacted to that.
From the performance center through the fans and stuff today. So that was totally different and a lot of fun. And huge crowd on day one. So you know you're in a different place, no question about it.
Was that a shot at the Brewers, Bruce?
Well, I don't know if it was a shot at the Brewers. There's a difference between Maryville, where the Brewers train, and where Cubs train at Sloan. Obviously, there's a difference in Milwaukee and Chicago as far as how many people are available to be baseball fans. I don't think he's taking a shot at Milwaukee. He's just stating the obvious that Chicago is a huge market. It built a ballpark in the spring training that's the biggest in all 30 spring training ballparks. It holds 15,000 people. There's a brashness about that, David. You know,
yes.
we're filling this up 30 times this spring. Okay, we're going to have the biggest crowds in baseball, and we have the biggest fan base as far as we're concerned. So, with that in mind, you know, okay, it's not the Dodgers, but it certainly is a huge fan base. You'd be silly to say, you know, Milwaukee and Chicago are the same, amount of people. I do admire Milwaukee fans. I think they are great baseball fans. They came out 3 million strong, mostly over the last 3 years. I mean, that's a really good baseball town. But again, there's a huge difference between Chicago and Milwaukee.
And it just spices up the rivalry a little bit more. And in that division, there are going to be some good ones. And our resident gambling expert, Robbie Triano, points out FanDuel has the Cardinals at plus 140 and the Cubs at plus 240 in the division. So it's going to be a great race. Let's get out to the phone lines, Bruce. Let's talk to our audience. The Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. 312-644-6767. Let's start the conversation with our buddy Mike in Glencoe. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good morning, fellas. And I'd like to pick up on a conversation you actually both had with Molly on the show earlier this week, where, Bruce, maybe you were tossing something out just as a outside pitch, or maybe you know something, but I see Mr. Reinsdorf essentially is playing Rachel Phelps. He's killing off the fan base by telling him that if he doesn't get the stadium, we're never going to be competitive. And then you threw out a name that just struck a bell with me, and that's, you were talking about the need for Reinsdorf to have a president, and you used the name John McDonough. Now, from my perspective, McDonough has probably served his time, his penance, but that's exactly the kind of an individual that it would seem to me the White Sox need to turn this around to get Reinsdorf out of the front and into the back room where he belongs. The Sox have nobody between an 88-year-old CEO chairman and a 40-year-old inexperienced general manager to run the organization, and they're suffering from it. I don't want to put you on the spot on McDonough, but is there any possibility that Reinsdorf could look at this and say, I need experienced help in the front office running this franchise before I kill off the fan base totally? What's your thinking?
Mike, thanks for the phone call. Bruce, that's a fair question about the structure of the White Sox. Kenny Williams essentially was never replaced as team president.
You know, it's called a buffer, a professional buffer. And I would tell Jerry, and he certainly hasn't asked me anytime recently if he needs it, but I would say somebody like that would be essential and would be really important to the process of representing the business voice of the Chicago White Sox. I think the one thing working against Jerry is, you know, he hasn't talked about the White Sox for many years, okay?
Mm-hmm. Right.
He doesn't talk to the media. I mean, there's media people that talk to him off the record. I'm one of them, you know, at the ballpark, we sit around and talk some baseball and stuff like that. But he never goes on the record. All of a sudden, he appeared, okay? And the first thing he's doing is he's talking about asking for a new ballpark and asking for the state and the city and the county to be involved. I think that unnerves people, and I would encourage Jerry to get a John McDonough. John is one of the most competent people as far as handling sports, representing sports, marketing things, anybody I've ever met. Well, he's a good friend. Obviously, yeah. The mistakes that he made with the Hawks are obvious, and he paid the penance for it. Your thoughts, David?
I think that with John McDonough, you know, up until the scandal with the Blackhawks that forced the purge of the organization, I could say that there was probably nobody in Chicago sports that had been any better to me personally over the years than him. And I do have a ton of respect for him, even though those mistakes are well documented, and his role in it is, you know, is something he paid for dearly with the fact that he's not the president of the Blackhawks any longer. I do think that still will, that stain lasts, it lingers, and I don't think it's a realistic possibility that he would step in necessarily. Now, as for the job itself, Jerry Reinsdorf has an optics issue, a problem. I don't want to turn this into 2 hours of going back and forth on that. That's not productive. But the question being, could Jerry Reinsdorf use somebody in the organization to provide, Bruce, that's exactly the way to put it, a buffer to be the front man? Absolutely. That's a huge void in the hierarchy. You need somebody who understands optics and understands the way the perception affects reality. Jerry Reinsdorf showing up in a leather jacket in the legislature in Springfield shows that he clearly doesn't any longer. And I think
I will take that leather jacket. That's
well,
pretty
you can wear it. You can wear it to wherever you want it to. You shouldn't wear it in front of people you're
all
asking
right.
a billion dollars for.
Maybe you're right on all counts. All I can say is Scott Reifert is the vice president there, and he is the vice president of communications. He expresses himself well. He's a very smart guy. If Jerry would turn to Scott and turn over some of the duties to him, it probably wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. At this point, you know, the horse is out of the barn, right? I mean, it's already moving forward with Jerry as the front man. He's the chairman of the team. He's the guy that is the voice of the team right now. I don't know if we can back this up and go a different direction at this point. I'm not sure about that.
Well, it's a fair question, though, Bruce, about what they're going to do moving forward. They have maybe gotten ahead of themselves with this South Loop project, because if this is the way they're going to present all of the information and the plans, it's clumsy. It's been clumsy.
Look, what Mully said to you and I when I was on the air with you, I think Wednesday, about the fact that he considered what I had talked about the day before with you guys about if it was someone else asking for this, would there be a different view of this by himself and other Sox fans and other people? And he had to say, you know, after mulling over one night, yes, maybe they would. Because, David, again, as soon as, if Jerry doesn't get this park and as soon as this team is sold, the first thing that's going to be brought up is we need a new ballpark. And whoever the owner is at that time is going to do the same thing that Jerry's doing. It's just a pushback on Jerry right now.
Last thing before we break on this is that, Bruce, I thought about that as well, and it was a valid point. I contend that regardless of who's making the ask, in this climate, it's a very difficult proposition to ask for public money in the state of Illinois and the city of Chicago, $1 billion in subsidies, when there are other priorities that outweigh a nice shiny new ballpark in the South Loop. That said, anybody but Jerry Reinsdorf would connect and resonate more with the legislature, with Sox fans, with baseball people, because right now I consider him to be, in the Sox fan base, toxic. People look at him and they have a visceral reaction. He's polarizing, too polarizing to get the job done, in my view. So we can continue to talk about this moving forward if we want. We'll get your phone calls. But when we come back, switching to Cubs and PCA, the guy with the blue hair, he's running around center field in Arizona. He will join us next on Inside the Clubhouse. Bruce Levine, David Haw, till 11 o'clock right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Hit in the air, deep center field, going back, Armstrong at the track, near the wall, leaps, and he makes the catch. What a play by Pete Crow Armstrong, a leaping grab against the wall.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, and always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Welcome back. Hope you're having a good Saturday morning. It's baseball season, so it's got to be good here in Chicago. David Haw, Bruce Levine, Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score, talking baseball till 11 o'clock. And it's time now to go back to Arizona. And now joining us on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline is Cubs center fielder Pete Crow Armstrong. Download the Circus Sports app today. Good morning, Pete. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. Thank you.
So, Pete, I think the question everybody wants to know back in Chicago is, what color is your hair this morning?
Still blue, if you've already seen it. Yeah, it'll probably be blue for a little while longer, but who knows when I get tired of that. If I can dye it blue, I could probably make it unblue pretty quickly.
Well, we'll switch over to a baseball question now, Pete, and thanks again for joining David and myself. What are your changes that you've been trying to make over the winter? And again, when I say changes, it's a little shaky to ask that question considering the terrific year that you had in the minor leagues last year and the five tools that you continue to display all the time, but because of the fact that the major league level was pretty challenging to you, was there anything in your swing that you were doing different now than you were at the end of the season in 2023?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm sure there is. I'm sure it's a lot cleaner right now. And I think to your question about changes, I think the real changes were made two off seasons ago when I first got out here. I guess almost three off seasons ago now. But I think the swing changes were taken care of when I first started working with the Cubs, and we really tackled that, before I even got a chance to go out and play in it, and it ended up working out in our favor really well. And I think as we've gone from there, it's just kind of become about cleaning it up and improving it from what it already is, you know. And I think if you were to watch me, you know, at the end of last year compared to what I hope this year's going to look like and what I feel like this year's going to look like for me it's just a different mindset in how I'm approaching my at-bats. I think Bruce noting the level of pitching in the big leagues, that's important just because what we knew I didn't do very well was already known. And if anything, what happened in the show was that I just got exposed, and you know what, like I wasn't honestly all that surprised. I can think back to how I felt during my time up there. And I would like to go into this year with a bit different of a mindset. But this offseason was just about reminding myself that I'm an athlete and, how to maintenance the high pitch and manage the high pitch rather than try and, you know, become a good high ball hitter.
Pete, what role does confidence play in your development? You've always been a highly publicized, highly regarded prospect who shot through the Cubs system, and then you called up last year. Every Cub fan is happy about that. Struggled at the plate, made some great plays in the field, and here you are in spring training, still with a lot of attention focused on your development, focused on your personality because you have a lot of fun and you're a guy that mixes well with others. But I just wonder, Where is your confidence level after last September, and how much does that affect how quickly you can, you know, continue to improve?
I think my confidence has only grown since last year. You know, this off season was it was good time for me to like, you know, sit with myself and really be honest with myself as to what I needed to work on. And I think in any confident person, there's honesty within themselves. And, you know, that's how I feel like I stay human and stay humble. And, you know, I think I am a confident guy, and I think everybody can see that, and I hope they do. But at the same time, I feel like the confidence only, you know, amplifies when you can back it up on the field. And so, like, you know, I've done my job in the minor leagues, right? And my next goal and task at hand is now to continue that at the highest level. And you know, with that comes more wins, hopefully, and more production for the greater good. But the confidence never left. You know, I don't mean any disrespect to anybody, but people spazzing out about a little 0 for 14, or like, what, I don't even know what it was. It was 0 for 14, 0 for 9, like whatever it was. Such a small sample size, but it just gets magnified a little bit because of the level I'm at, you know, and I can live with that. And I was talking about the confidence within yourself, you know, that mm-hmm. takes away any external factors that may affect you. So the confidence is there. It never wavers. It can't. So I believe in myself, and even more so, the people around me have made it clear that they believe in me. And to me, that means more than anything I could do for myself. So knowing that I'm in the right place with the right guys, you know, Dansby, Nico, Ian, whoever, DK, Males, Counts, like the confidence in me from others is there. And they have made that a point. And I think that that is all I could ever ask for.
Pete, the elephant's in the room, and it's Bellinger. And you've handled beautifully the conversations and talk about how you would be the first guy to welcome him in the door as a valued teammate and somebody that was important to you when you came up to the big leagues for your short stint last year. But nonetheless, the conversation outside of there is Pete ready to be the center fielder of the Cubs, because this Bellinger thing is dragged on for 3 months and Cub fans are a little nervous about it. How do you react to that? I know it doesn't go into your daily planning, or you can't allow that in your thought process, but how do you react to the Bellinger situation yourself?
To be honest, I don't really even know how to answer that question. I'd have to say that everybody outside of this clubhouse is probably paying more attention to that whole situation than anybody inside the clubhouse. And, you know, we just played our first game of spring, right? And I don't want to say there's bigger fish to fry, but, you know, we love Cody, and we know that if he comes back, it's a blessing and a benefit, but we still have to carry on and go about our day. You know, we got games that we're playing, and that's what we're all focused on. You know, I think, you know, but we also, you forget, I mean, you know, Talkman is here, and he is the center fielder, if anything. You know, he's the one that has the time up there with this club, and guys love him here. He's just got a great presence, and, you know, he's in center field, and I'm in center field, and Seiya's in right, and Ian's in left. Like, we know what we got, and we're really confident in what we got here, and, you know, again, Cody would only add to that, I think. So there's no worries or stress going on about that for any of us. If I can go ahead and speak for everybody else, but personally, it'd be the same answer. It's that I love getting to work with Talk and Happer and Seiya every day. You know, that's what I'm here for right now.
That's a tremendous answer, Pete. We're talking to Pete Crow Armstrong on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I wanted to ask you about Craig Counsell and bunting. He delighted a lot of people when he said early on that he doesn't like bunting. I think that sometimes people look at that and the game has changed. But in your case, he, from what I understand, has also encouraged you to work at it a little bit. So I think that he can, he's not inflexible. He sees opportunities. And certainly it could be a tool and a weapon for you maybe. How do you view that part of your game because of your speed, because of the way you handle the bat, and what it can do for you as a as an offensive force for the Cubs?
Well, I mean, shoot, in my conversations with Counts, it sounded like, you know, what we need to see for me is an ability to weaponize the bunt game and make it an offensive thing. You know, it doesn't just have to be to get somebody over to the next base. Those get guys hits, and that's my mindset on it too. I've been bunting since I was littler, and you know, I don't think I've valued it enough because I haven't worked on it like I should. So this offseason has been, it's been good to focus on that. I've already been out there with Willie Bunton, and I've already, you know, tried showing in game. I didn't get it down, but it's about the reps, and it's about putting it foul before you put it fair. And, you know, I think if you can, you know, like even little things like, you know, you're in a slump, and the end of the week it's Sunday, and you need a hit. You know, you lay one down, I can use my legs if I need to, you know. That's that from an offensive standpoint. But also, like, the value of late-game situations, being able to lay one down against a tougher matchup. Just stuff like that that's been brought to my attention by Counts and by Willie and whoever I've really, and, you know, Flash. Like, whoever I've talked to about this, we've really come up with different ways to look at the bunt game and how it can be utilized this year, you know. It's all smart things going on.
Pete Crow Armstrong joining us from Mesa, Arizona, getting ready for his first big league full season. And, Pete, when you go back to Monday and Craig Counsell giving his state of the Cubs and then owner Tom Ricketts giving his opinions about what everything's about, what did you take out of the welcome to spring training? Here's what we expect, part of both Craig and Tom Ricketts.
You know, I think it's some of the same. I think the expectations for a Chicago Cub, you know, don't really change. And I think that's a testament to the players that have come through here, you know, building a good reputation and making it easy on the front office to know what they need to ask from us. You know, there's good people in this clubhouse more than they are baseball players, and being able to, you know, combine that on the field is that's big and it's exciting. So the message was, you know, let's just have another one of these good Chicago years, and I think there's a little more to that now. You know, it's going to become about winning rather than just making it through another year. I think we got big goals in our sights and a big confidence in what we can do with that. So, you know, Counts is a different presence than we had last year. You know, he's just a different guy, and he comes at you a little differently than the next. And you know, he's got a cool little, like, calming, pretty laid back, witty personality. So he's just coming in and really just opening up the room, and I feel like he's definitely loosened me up a little bit, knowing who he is and how he likes to conduct things here. So I don't know what the message really was, or the overarching message was, but I think that's for us players to decide for ourselves anyways.
Quickly before I let you go, Pete, have to ask you this. What do you think of the uniforms?
Honestly, I got asked that yesterday. I don't really know. I think if I'm really going to, like, break it down, I wear long sleeves and tights under my stuff, so, like, I don't feel the jerseys anyways. But you can definitely tell they're see-through from pictures and all that. But, again, I'm not well-versed enough on the difference in jerseys to really give you an answer. I only wore the old one so many times. But I'm sure there's more to it than I'm alluding to as well. But that's for me to keep figuring out when I wear them.
Well, keep figuring things out, Pete. We enjoyed talking with you, and I know Cub fans have really enjoyed listening to you this morning. All the best, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Pete Crow Armstrong, Cub center fielder, Bruce, bright young prospect. bright young man there, entertaining, informative, great insight talking with him.
I think he's going to be a force for the Chicago Cubs on a lot of different levels. Again, I had to ask him the hard question about Bellinger being in the room because it's, I think, the one thing that people want to know the most, you know, is how will the Cubs move on without Bellinger if he's not there? And, you know, again, I think he gave me a great answer because he said, he gave me the manager's answer. We don't worry about players that aren't here. Every right. manager that talks about a guy on the IL or could be obtained in a trade, they have no patience for that whatsoever because they're busy going about their job of being the best they can be with who's there.
He talked a lot about the Craig Counsell approach to this spring training. When we come back, Bruce, we're going to keep it on the Cubs until we get to Steve Stone at 10 o'clock. But I want to ask you about a couple key decisions that Craig Counsell has already made that may pay dividends in the long run. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Behind in the count, he struggles. And he drives this one in the air. Left field, Ortega back, and he'll watch it go. A home run for Christopher Morel. And just like that, it is 2-0. Right into bleacher Jeff's world.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Thank you, Book Shambi and the Marquee Sports Network for that highlight. Christopher Morel going deep, first inning, first at bat. Gotta like that, Bruce. And I think that as we talk here inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, as we talk Cubs, the Morel decision to play and focus on third base, interesting. Michael Busch being essentially, I don't want to say handed the job, but I might say handed the job at first base before he's even, you know, had a major league at bat with the Chicago Cubs. These are decisions early on, or maybe indications by Craig Counsell that he will be decisive, that he will be he will do things in a way that may not be everybody's method of doing things. And we heard from Pete Crow Armstrong about his witty brand of leadership that is direct, but it also makes people like him feel relaxed. Do you sense a different tone in Cubs camp because of the Craig Counsell effect?
I just think that there, as Armstrong mentioned, there's a different voice and a different quality to Cubs spring training this year that's not necessarily better than David Ross's, but certainly different. And the confidence that he has in young players, players that, you know, he spent some time this week explaining to me and a couple of the other media people how we're not changing the narrative of who we're going to be playing just because they have a hot spring, or we're not going to put them in the minor leagues because they don't have a good spring. We're going to continue to believe in what the organization thinks of them coming into spring training. And I thought it was a well thought out and very clear thought process that he said about we're not changing things just because we see something different in spring training. We're going by what we think the track record would be for a player, the track record of what they think a guy's play should be, like the Pete Crow Armstrongs in center, like the Bushes at first base. So there's that quiet confidence in the organization and about the players that they know and that they're bringing in that Counsell talked about that I thought was rather interesting.
I do too, Bruce, but I want to flesh this out, though. So I want to ask you about what that means, though, because if you are clinging to that idea, and I don't disagree necessarily. I mean, he's the major league manager, and he's got the experience. If you're clinging to this idea that results don't matter in spring training, and you are the same manager that before you've played a game essentially have made Michael Busch a minor league all-star, the PCL Player of the Year, your starting first baseman, You're saying to him that if you struggle in spring training, it doesn't matter. You're still going to be our guy. You're saying to Christopher Morel, if you struggle being defensively in spring training, you're still our guy. Are you discounting any kind of, or are you eliminating the possibility that you're going to react to what they might not be doing or how they're not progressing because you are staying true to what you promised them or pledged at the beginning of the process?
It's a great question. It's a great follow-up by you because you do have to use some of your baseball instincts. If Morel goes over to third and he's throwing the ball away and bobbling every other ball, you will hesitate to start him at third base when the season begins. I don't think there's any doubt. I think the difference is they don't have any. If Morel's still going to be a big league player in their mind, okay? So it's not like he's going to the minor leagues if he fails at third base.
Mm-hmm.
I think the same thing is probably true about Bush and about Armstrong. They believe that their time is now to play in the major leagues. That's an uneasy feel, I think, for a lot of Cub fans, but it is true player development with an organization that feels they have good players. I think the uncomfortable part for us in the media or for the fans is that, hey, they haven't had very good minor league players, and do we really trust the idea that they're ready to play in the major leagues?
And they're more patient than we are. And so they're going to look at this with view in mind. Yeah, so they probably, Craig Counsell's not sitting around there worried about maybe two bad series in April if you're Michael Bush off to a slow start, whereas we're going to be every day wondering, where's Matt Mervis? Why didn't they trade for a first baseman? Yeah. What did they do in the offseason?
I mean, you can't just continue to go out to free agency and sign Cody Bellingers every year. That's just not it. So player development is so huge when it comes to Tom Ricketts and his family, so huge when it comes to Hoyer and to Hawkins about what's going on, because they know the lifeblood is really the way they have to go. The beauty of the Chicago Cubs compared to the Chicago White Sox is they have the residual funds to be able to dip in, and when they need a free agent to come across to build a championship team, they have the money to spend. We're finding out right now, maybe Bellinger isn't at the point where they feel he's the tipping point for them winning a championship.
And likewise, yeah.
And if that's the case, David, maybe the smart thing is not to sign Cody Bellinger to a long-term contract.
That's an interesting conclusion I don't necessarily agree with, but I do think the overarching point is what you said about player development at the front office level. You're seeing it at the managerial level, because I think Craig Counsell, in investing confidence in Michael Bush and Christopher Morel at third, and even Pete Crow Armstrong to a lesser degree, that shows you that he does have the long view in mind, even though he's managing every one of these 162 games and going day by day. So he can do both and do it pretty well. All right, it's time to talk White Sox. It's time to bring in Steve Stone. Cannot wait for this conversation. He will join us next on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Behind in the count, he struggles. And he drives this one in the air. Left field, Ortega back, and he'll watch it go. A home run for Christopher Morel. And just like that, it is 2-0. Right into Bleacher Jeff's world.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haugh on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Thank you, Book Shambi and the Marquee Sports Network, for that highlight. Christopher Morel going deep, first inning, first at bat. Gotta like that, Bruce. And I think that as we talk here inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, as we talk Cubs, the Morel decision to play and focus on third base, interesting. Michael Busch being essentially, I don't want to say handed the job, but I might say handed the job at first base before he's even, you know, had a major league at bat with the Chicago Cubs. These are decisions early on, or maybe indications by Craig Counsell that he will be decisive, that he will be he will do things in a way that may not be everybody's method of doing things. And we heard from Pete Crow Armstrong about his witty brand of leadership that is direct, but it also makes people like him feel relaxed. Do you sense a different tone in Cubs camp because of the Craig Counsell effect?
I just think that there, as Armstrong mentioned, there's a different voice and a different quality to Cubs spring training this year. That's not necessarily better than David Ross's, but certainly different. And the confidence that he has in young players, players that, you know, he spent some time this week explaining to me and a couple of the other media people how we're not changing the narrative of who we're going to be playing just because they have a hot spring, or we're not going to put them in the minor leagues because they don't have a good spring. We're going to continue to believe in what the organization thinks of them coming into spring training. And I thought it was a well thought out and very clear thought process that he said about we're not changing things just because we see something different in spring training. We're going by what we think the track record would be for a player, the track record of what they think a guy's play should be, like the Pete Crow Armstrongs in center, like the Bushes at first base. So there's that quiet confidence in the organization and about the players that they know and that they're bringing in that Counsell talked about that I thought was rather interesting.
I do too, Bruce, but I want to flesh this out, though. So I want to ask you about what that means, though, because if you are clinging to that idea, and I don't disagree necessarily. I mean, he's the major league manager, and he's got the experience. If you're clinging to this idea that results don't matter in spring training, and you are the same manager that before you've played a game essentially have made Michael Busch a minor league all-star, the PCL player of the year, your starting first baseman, you're saying to him that if you struggle in spring training, it doesn't matter. You're still going to be our guy. You're saying to Christopher Morel, if you struggle being defensively in spring training, you're still our guy. Are you discounting any kind of, or are you eliminating the possibility that you're going to react to what they might not be doing or how they're not progressing because you are staying true to what you promised them or pledged at the beginning of the process?
It's a great question. It's a great follow-up by you, because you do have to use some of your baseball instincts. If Morel goes over to third and he's throwing the ball away and bobbling every other ball, you will hesitate to start him at third base when the season begins. I don't think there's any doubt. I think the difference is they don't have any. If Morel's still going to be a big league player in their mind, okay? So it's not like he's going to the minor leagues if he fails at third base.
Mm-hmm.
I think the same thing is probably true about Busch and about Armstrong. They believe that their time is now to play in the major leagues. That's an uneasy feel, I think, for a lot of Cub fans, but it is true player development with an organization that feels they have good players. I think the uncomfortable part for us in the media or for the fans is that, hey, they always haven't had very good minor league players, and do we really trust the idea that they're ready to play in the major leagues?
And they're more patient than we are, and so they're going to look at this with view in mind. Yeah, so they probably, Craig Counsell's not sitting around there worried about maybe two bad series in April if you're Michael Busch off to a slow start, whereas we're going to be every day wondering, where's Matt Mervis? Why didn't they trade for a first baseman? Yeah. What did they do in the offseason?
I mean, you can't just continue to go out to free agency and sign Cody Bellingers every year. That's just not it. So player development is so huge when it comes to Tom Ricketts and his family, so huge when it comes to Hoyer and to Hawkins about what's going on, because they know the lifeblood is really the way they have to go. The beauty of the Chicago Cubs compared to the Chicago White Sox is they have the residual funds to be able to dip in, and when they need a free agent to come across to build a championship team, they have the money to spend. We're finding out right now, maybe Bellinger isn't at the point where they feel he's the tipping point for them winning a championship.
And likewise, yeah.
And if that's the case, David, maybe the smart thing is not to sign Cody Bellinger to a long-term contract.
That's an interesting conclusion I don't necessarily agree with, but I do think the overarching point is what you said about player development at the front office level. You're seeing it at the managerial level, because I think Craig Counsell, in investing confidence in Michael Busch and Christopher Morel at third, and even Pete Crow Armstrong to a lesser degree, that shows you that he does have the long view in mind, even though he's managing every one of these 162 games and going day by day. So he can do both and do it pretty well. All right, it's time to talk White Sox. It's time to bring in Steve Stone. Cannot wait for this conversation. He will join us next on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.